We're going to talk about food, and specifically superfoods and how to use them is the name of a book by Juliet Bryant. It's full of delicious ideas, we're told, that how to use food to help if you've got cold or flu, if you're struggling with hormones, how to use food and get the best out of them. And Juliet joins us on the line. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning.
Julia, I suppose the first thing, and it's a phrase that we're hearing more and more, but maybe we don't necessarily define it. How would you define the concept of superfoods?
Well, to me, a superfood is a small amount of food that has a dense amount of nutrients. So a superfood doesn't just have to be something weird and wonderful. It can be something as simple as nettles or apples or beetroot. So we have superfoods all around us. It's just this concentrated form of nutrients.
So there are certain foods that can, when properly used, then deliver perhaps more than ordinary foods can, and certainly deliver more perhaps than vitamin supplements and tablets can.
That's right. You know, nature is so remarkably clever. And when we eat a whole apple, for example, this has it's packed full of nutrients, and our body knows what to do with it if we just pick it and eat it straight away. When we start to cook and extract and make supplements with things, then what we're doing is we're actually trying to play God or play nature, and we're taking away some of the fine bits that we need to actually process foods. It's like apples. If you juice them, they're not as good as if you eat the whole thing, because the sugar content goes up, because there's less fibre for our body to absorb. So it's best, I think, where possible, to eat the whole food in the state that nature provided it.
Does that mean then eating raw rather than cooked?
Well, my thought really, and from the research I've done, is the more raw food we can eat, the better. Obviously, some things we can't eat raw, but we can eat a lot of raw things. And the more raw food we eat, the more enzyme activity we have, the more nutrients that we have going into us. So ideally, yes, more raw food is good.
How accessible are the ingredients in this particular book? Because people look at things like goji berries and things like that, and they're thinking, where am I going to get those? They're not going to be on sale in my local supermarket.
That's very true. And what I tried to do with this book is cover foods. It's an A to Z. So you have apples, beetroot, celery. You have very normal foods that we can get absolutely everywhere. An article I recently wrote was called The Top 6 Superfoods in Your Local Shop, because there are, as I said, superfoods everywhere. And now also we can go out foraging. So you can go out and collect stinging nettles, a great source of iron and high in nutrients. Obviously wear gloves so you don't get stung. But, you know, we have superfoods all around. So there are some weird and wonderful things in the book, but there's also very normal superfoods that you can access everywhere around you.
The other issue in this can particularly be an issue for families when someone is cooking for children is getting a group of people to eat something can at times be challenging and difficult. Is it possible to present superfoods in such a way that's going to make them appetizing? Because one of the preconceptions, however erroneous it may be, is that superfoods are, by nature, they're going to be stodgy. At best, they're going to be tasteless. And at worst, they're not going to be very nice at all.
I've got two children and a third on the way, so this is something that I'm always investigating and exploring, how to get the best nutrients into my family. And sometimes you have to be creative, and in the book I've done quite a few creative recipes to hide things, because we do have to be a bit clever, don't we, when it comes to children or picky grown-ups as well. So there's things like a raw chocolate mousse, and that's got avocados in. So no one would know that there's something green in it. And there's lots of other recipes like that where you can hide things very easily. And what I've done is Hippocrates, who was the father of modern medicine, said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. But I think if something tastes disgusting, you're not going to go back and eat it, are you? So what I've done in the book, my motto is, let delicious food be your medicine. Because I think that if food tastes delicious, you're going to want to keep eating it and going back for more, which is what we want.
Presumably you too will argue that what you're presenting and what you're offering is based on science and so on. This isn't some sort of a quackery. This is proven nutritional food that has been tried and tested and that has been proven to be beneficial.
Definitely. And what's really exciting now, I mean, I've travelled around the world a lot to write this book, to gather information from Ayurvedic practitioners, from Native Americans, from people all around the world, from scientists, doctors. And what I've done with that is compile it all in an easy, accessible way. And what I find so exciting is that we have these thousands of years of anecdotal evidence that now is being backed up by science. There was a recent study that was published in the British Medical Journal that stated if you eat 20 grams of nuts a day, which is a small handful, then this reduces your risk of heart disease by 30%, cancer by 15%, diabetes by 40%. I mean, these are astounding figures. And this wasn't a small survey that was done. This was done over 800,000 people. So a large sample was really tested on this. And this is what I think is so exciting, that science is really coming forward now to back up all of this stuff that a lot of people have been using and practicing for all of time, really.
You've already mentioned the chocolate mousse that has avocados. What other recipes do you have that people might perhaps eat and not realise that what they're eating is a superfood?
Well, I've got a lovely recipe that's also on my website, which you can access for free. It's a nettle and potato soup. And as I said, nettles at the moment are everywhere. And you can go out and get them for free. Because another thing that quite often comes up with superfoods is that people say, well, it's too expensive. I can't afford to eat healthy food. So what I've done, and it's part of my new book that I'm writing, which is Healthy Food on a Budget, is actually creating recipes that aren't expensive, like the nettle and potato soup. And no one would know that they were eating nettles. So things like that, you know, with a little whiz and blend up, then you can hide things very easily. I make lovely, in fact, I just made them this morning. The oven has just beeped at me saying they're done. Nut butter and banana and chocolate chip cookies that have no refined sugar, no gluten, and no animal products at all. So that we can have these lovely treats without actually having to feel guilty that we're doing something bad for our body.
Now, those cookies do sound good, I must confess. I would quite happily be the guinea pig to try some of those. Julia, I know you don't make any claims to be in any way a medical person, but we have one or two questions, and I'll just put them to you. And obviously, we will say up front, Juliet does not claim to be and is not a qualified medical practitioner. So these are recommendations and nothing more. Someone wondering, is there any foods that you would perhaps recommend to boost the immune system?
Yeah, that's a great question and something that is really important all the time. 70% of the immune system resides in the gut. So our digestive system is actually the key to a healthy immune system. If we find that we're getting repeat coughs and colds, this means that there's an imbalance with our gut bacteria. So this is the first place to look. Now, one of the top foods, to address this gut bacterial balance, is garlic. So garlic has long been used as a natural antibiotic. It contains 39 different antibiotic strains. So having raw garlic, you don't just have to eat a raw garlic clove, but putting it into maybe a nice pesto sauce that you're making is a great way to kill off some of the bad bacteria in your gut and also to boost up your immune system and killing off those bacteria that might be causing germs. So that's one thing that's very good for the immune system. Increasing your vitamin C intake is another thing that is very good to support the immune system. And rose hips are a brilliant source of vitamin C. They're one of the best sources of vitamin C, in fact. So it's not the time right now, but it will be in not too long to go out and collect rose hips for the coming winter and make nice rose hip syrup. You know, in the wartime, everyone was out collecting rose hips to do just this because they knew the importance of vitamin C for the immune system.
And finally, and very briefly, caller suffering from psoriasis wondering, is there anything that would help boost the condition of the skin?
Again, it's very funny because both of these two questions relate very much to the gut. So psoriasis generally can be linked to, again, the condition of the gut. So looking at what you're consuming, quite often psoriasis can be linked to food intolerances. So two of the most common food intolerances at the moment that I see as a nutritionist are gluten and dairy. So my first port of call would be to cut those things out. Also, treating the skin itself with coconut oil, as coconut oil is antifungal, antiviral, and antibacterial. So applying this onto the skin can help soothe the condition. But really, skin conditions are a representation of the internal wanting to expel toxins. So looking at the diet is really key for psoriasis. And as I said, trying to cut out the gluten and the dairy and seeing if that makes a difference is a good first step.
Juliet, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. That's Juliet Bryant. She's a nutritionist and a cook. Her latest book is Superfoods and How to Use Them. The website, julietskitchen.tv.